We're talking with Kathy Curtis, the director of Clean and Health in New York, about legislation that the New York State Legislature recently passed to ban the sale of paper and basically food packaging in New York State containing PFAS. But Kathy, why don't you just give us a brief introduction? What is Clean and Healthy New York?
Well, we work for safer chemicals, a sustainable economy, and a healthier world, Mark. And we also co-lead a broad, diverse coalition of about 50 groups representing a million New Yorkers called the Just Green Partnership. And we do that with We Act for Environmental Justice.
Now, can you explain this legislation that recently passed and why it's important?
I can. It's a very brief piece of legislation. It's barely a page long. So it just very cleanly bans the use, the sale, the distribution of foodware, single-use foodware that contains intentionally added PFAS chemicals, which is a class of thousands of per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances.
This is the, you know, chemicals that we heard about at Hoosick Falls with the water, Petersburg, and more recently with the Norlite incinerator?
And Newburgh and Northampton, Long Island. You know, the more you look for this stuff, the more you find it, yeah.
So how, how difficult was it to pass? And why this is important to keep this out of the food packaging? Well, which is different from the food itself or from, you know, other things, but the packaging.
Well, it gets into the food, Mark, and then it gets inside our bodies and contributes to health harm. And it's compounded when there are already millions of workers drinking water that's already been contaminated with PFAS chemicals. So they're sort of getting a double dose when they, you know, get their pizza or Chinese food or, you know, takeout in paperware that contains PFAS chemicals. So they're being dually exposed. It was a challenge to pass. When the bill first got introduced in 2018 by Senator Brad Hoylman, it had already passed in Washington State after significant negotiation and compromise because that was the first state in the country. And we urged the senator to not push the bill during that legislative session while it was still a mixed, a legislature where the Democrats had one house and the Republicans had the other. We urged him not to get an assembly sponsor and try to push the bill until next session, where we hoped the political landscape would be more amenable to passage of a stronger bill. The bill contained the requirement for an alternatives assessment, and we believed that because New York State had already, through Executive Order Number 4, New York's Green Procurement Executive Order, disfavored PFAS in single-use foodware. So New York State doesn't spend any of its procurement budget on PFAS in foodware, and they can't do that without determining that there are readily available, safer, cost and performance effective alternatives. And that, in fact, about 30% of the market had already shifted. You can't create a procurement specification that can't be met, in other words. That's too pie in the sky. It doesn't exist yet. So we were confident that that was unnecessary. And it came very close to passing in 2019. It passed the Senate and almost, it was on the assembly floor. And there was a last minute objection between that 3-day period at the end of the session. Product maker in New York came out and said, look, we fast, but we can't guarantee it's not in there because, of course, as you mentioned right up front, Mark, it's everywhere. It's in the water. It's in the air. It's ambient. So we came back in 2020 having amended the bill to only apply to intentionally added PFAS.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that there were some concerns raised this year by some of the senators about the negative impact possibly on jobs in the packaging industry. How did you all respond to that concern and the opposition of the American Forest and Paper Association?
Well, we said, show us any evidence of that, any indication, any citation, any study, anything other than just saying it. And, you know, they were unable to do that. We also generated quite a bit of support from sustainable businesses, not the least of which is the New York Sustainable Business Council, which has thousands of members in New York State that very much value safe, clean drinking water. You've seen the burgeoning cideries and wineries and breweries and distilleries, for example, a lot of whom are members of the Sustainable Business Council that care a great deal about safe drinking water and were instrumental in the fracking debate. So those businesses acted as a counterweight to the surrogates of the American Chemistry Council and Business Council and National Independent Federation of Businesses, Federation of Independent Businesses.
Now, if, you know, for any of our listeners at home, you know, are there, you know, materials that they use perhaps to package their own food, which, you know, has this potential contamination problems from PFAS, and perhaps they should look at replacing it?
Well, there are molded paper plates. They're not the same paper plates. I don't want to name any brand names, but they look like, you know, chewed up and held and then re-pressed together cups and plates and bowls that are probably have PFAS mixed in with them. Also, to look out for any sort of shiny, a little bit oily, almost slick coating on paper. That's often PFAS.
Now, the governor doesn't necessarily have the world's best record on dealing with, you know, these type of chemicals. Have you any indication as to whether he's going to be willing to sign the bill, or do people need to be, you know, reaching out to his office to urge him to sign the bill?
I haven't heard no indication that he would not sign the bill, given that his own agency, his own administration has already restricted PFAS in this exact product sector for state purchase. So I feel like it would be a bad look for the governor to ban this, especially given all of the drinking water contamination. But sure, certainly it wouldn't do any harm for people to weigh in. That's the beauty of a democratic process. And I think it's important for him to hear from his constituents on this. That people don't want to be exposed without their knowledge or consent to chemicals that can cause harm.
So we have about 90 seconds left. Are there any key issues, you know, still out there that you're hoping to get through the legislature if they come back? And if people want more information about your group, how best can they do that?
There is a single-use hotel toiletry bottle restriction that, again, made it all the way through the Senate and is on the assembly floor, and they could just very easily push it over the edge. That would eliminate a lot of plastics from commerce and that end up going in incinerators and, you know, black and brown communities and polluting our environment. And you can reach us by going to www.chny.org.
Well, Kathy Curtis from Clean and Healthy New York, we want you to thank you for taking the time for being with us here today. And this has been Mark Dunley with the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.